الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر، والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع، إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل، إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا، فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest man to be created, the greatest man to grace this temporary world, the greatest man whose advent illuminated the books of history of this very earth. I speak about none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. We continue on from the previous dars, in which we spoke about the verse يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ, on the day when the secrets will be laid bare, will be opened up, will be tested, will be examined. And we went through various different types of secrets that will be subjected to investigation on the day of Qiyamah. And one of the secrets and one of the things that the Mufassireen have mentioned under this verse is the issue of amanah. The issue of amanah. And amanah means trust. So there are many different types of trusts that we have to take care of and keep secure. One type is the monetary type, or for example, when an individual gives you some money or something to look after and says, you know, I'm just going to go on a journey for a month or so, and can you just take care of my car? You can use it if you want, but just look after it whilst I'm away. Or someone gives you some prized possession or anything, and they task you with taking care of this. This is one type of amanah. So it is our duty that when accepting this amanah, we don't have to accept this amanah. If we feel like, no, this is beyond me and it's above me, then we can just say that, no, I'm sorry, but I will not be able to look after your possession the way it's supposed to be looked after, and we can refuse this. However, if we accept this amanah, then now it becomes our duty to ensure that this item, we secure it and we keep it safe to the best of our abilities. Other types of amanah can be, for example, is mentioned al-majalisu bil-amanah, that gatherings, some gatherings can be, are also an amanah. So for example, if I'm having a secret conversation with an individual and I am telling them something in the utmost confidence, and either there's an understanding between us that this is, you know, it's a secret, or I explain to the person that what I'm going to tell you is in confidence and you must not tell anybody. So this, you are holding an amanah. And it is our duty, or the duty of the person we are speaking to ensure that whatever is being told in this particular gathering between these two, three or four individuals, it is our duty to ensure that this, you know, secret is not exposed or it does not go out, unless there is a shari'i reason for this. For example, if an individual, informs you of a plan to hurt somebody, that I'm going to, you know, do this, I'm going to steal this individual's possession, but it's a secret, don't tell anyone. No, in that situation, we'll be like, hang on a minute, I need to make sure that this person doesn't get hurt. You can't say, well, you know, it's a secret, so he was going to kill you, but, you know, I can't tell you. No, that's a shari'i reason that will be exempted. But generally, if I'm telling you something, for example, personal, or something that there's no reason for me to expose, then, you know, this is a very big thing. Nowadays, it's a big issue where secret meetings are taking place. Sometimes it's a domestic matter, it's in the house, it's between brothers and sisters, there's some meeting taking place, and there's an individual in the house and they have their, our phones with us, and there's recording taking place, or there's a video taking place, and then by the next morning, whatever conversation took place in that house, it's all over social media. And this happens so many times, where, you know, the secrets, the matters of the houses, or personal people's personal affairs, their business transactions, and suddenly information is being leaked out. Or sometimes what happens is some people that type up a message that this person said this and this person said that, and often their intention is nothing but to cause chaos, to cause dispute, to cause fights between people. Or this alim said this about this person, and then often they miscontextualize it, they take it out of context, they make the opinion of the one scholar look in a bad light, so it creates friction. This is what shaitan does. It can come under the meaning of backbiting, it can come under the meaning of slander, wa ghayra dhalik. So it is of utmost importance that when we are tasked with keeping a secret like this, and this can extend to private gatherings, private conversations, to the extent when scholars, and especially senior scholars, they, for example, they might come to our house, or they might be having a secret conversation in one of the rooms in the masjid. And sometimes, because it's a senior scholar, we feel like we want to record it. So I remember once the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dura Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, was having a he normally has gatherings for scholars. There was one such gathering in the month of Ramadan in the back room in the madrasa in Leicester, and I think Hazrat saw someone in the back, like, you know, with their phone. So he goes, if you want to record these secret, you know, in these separate, non-private, in these private gatherings, then what you should do is you take your phone and you put it in front of the scholar. So the scholar knows that he's being recorded, so he'll make a decision. If he does not want to be recorded, he'll tell the person that please stop recording. Or then he'll understand that, okay, this conversation is no longer private. So if there is anything private that he wants to say, he won't say it then. When the recording is finished, or the mic's gone off, or the phones are away, then he'll say what he needs to say like this. So it's important for us to be very, very careful in this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to abide and be, you know, compliant with these principles that have been taught to us by our elders. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, one of the other forms of amana that is mentioned by the scholars is that of relationships. Husband and wives, parents and children. When, for example, the husband and wife. So, for example, if the husband goes away on a journey, then he should behave whilst he is away, away from home, away from the public, and he's in different places in a foreign land. He should behave just as, you know, his wife expects him to behave. And along with this, and to a greater degree, he should behave as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects him to behave. So, for example, at home, you know, mashallah, the person, he's very loyal, he doesn't speak to other women, he's very careful, he lowers his gaze, you know. But then what happens is he goes to a different country, so he's away from the wife, he's away from the people that know him, and suddenly, you know, he's speaking to women, he's flirting with them, etc. This is also amana. A person should behave appropriately, not just to show his wife, but isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching at all times? So this is loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also this is loyalty to one spouse. Likewise, the wife, when the husband is away, she should dress the way her husband would want her to dress in public. And she should behave the way her husband would want her to behave in public. So for example, when she is walking down the street with her husband and there are other men walking, she doesn't speak to them, she, you know, keeps her gaze low, she dresses appropriately. But suddenly the husband is away and the postman comes to drop off a parcel, and she's chatting away to him, "Oh, how are you? How's family?" No, this is again part of amana. And again, on the other side, like we said before with the husband, the same way, isn't she being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Her loyalty should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to dress in a certain way and speak in a certain way and interact in a certain way. So like this goes on, and with different relationships. For example, with our parents, when our parents are with us, we behave in a certain way. We should behave the same way when they are not around. If they are away on, you know, traveling, we should also behave in the same way. And just like that, we should be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all settings, in all times, and in all places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. One narration we remember from Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that on the day of Qiyamah, a person's bad deeds that he has been concealing and they are coming to light on the day of Qiyamah, they will appear as darkness on his face on the day of Qiyamah. And different sins will have different types of darknesses. Likewise, on the other side, in the same narration, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that many times what happens is an individual, he does so many good deeds, but he hides them. In the darkness of the night, he's praying 2 rakats. Or, in the darkness of the night, it's snowed. And this person goes out whilst everyone's sleeping, and he clears all the pathway and he goes back in his house. In the morning, subhanAllah, everyone's so happy. Who did this? No one knows. He doesn't tell anybody. This is a secret between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, he middle of the night, he comes to the masjid, he cleans the toilets, or he does other work. No one knows who he was. But this was a secret between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He reminds me of that famous nazm, "Hal laka sirrun inda Allah, baynaka anta wa bayna Allah. Hal laka sadaqatun takhfa, la ya'lamuha illa Allah." That do you have a secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do you have any forms of charity that you have given that you hid? لا يعلمها إلا الله. That nobody knows about this except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that those good deeds that an individual hid from the public and he kept in his bank only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see, on the day of Qiyamah, they will appear as light on one's face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And like this, our respected teachers advise us that we should do things like this. Yeah, so many times our a'mal, our namaz is being seen by people. You know, our sadaqah we gave is being seen by people. So why don't we have a few things that we do that no one knows about? Why don't we have a few things that we do that absolutely no one knows about? It's just a secret. And you do this good deed, whatever it may be, and then you look and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, "Ya Allah, this action that I did, It's for you and for you only. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. Have a few secrets like that. What do we know on the day of Qiyamah? Allah might say, forget all your namaz, forget everything you did. Forget everything you did. But that one day you put one penny in the darkness in the masjid, you put one penny in the charity box, and you did it solely for me, because of this I'll send you to Jannah. What do we know? Yeah? So why we should have plenty of secrets like this that we share only and only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And we move on, and with regards to the matter of amanah, it is such an important matter that we have heard from many talks of the ulama the status of a shaheed, a person who has been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet it's mentioned in the ahadith that even on the day of Qiyamah, a martyr who had discrepancies in his dealings or his transactions, his debts, his trusts, his amana, he'll be held back as well. Even, and we know the status of a shaheed is such that before one drop falls on the ground, one drop of blood falls on the ground, all his sins are forgiven. Yeah, we know about the shaheed, we mentioned in the hadith that they are flying in the birds of in the pockets of birds, in green birds in Jannah, and so on and so forth. There are so many fada'il and virtues and regarding the status of a shaheed. Yet, even a shaheed will be held back and say, hang on a minute, you owed someone money, or you cheated someone out of this. So can you imagine the importance of taking care of our amanah? Not only that, but our dealings, our monetary dealings, our business dealings, debts. Many times it happens, we borrow money from someone and then we say, look, you know, like Hazrat Maulana Bilal Sahib Damul Barakatuhum says, that sometimes, you know, people take qarzi hasana, that they give it to a masjid and then they pay it back. He says that qarzi hasana becomes qarzi hasna. And when you ask for it back, they just laugh at you. Like, hey, you're not getting my money back. You're not getting your money back, yeah? But then on the day of Qiyamah, who's going to be laughing then? Yeah? So even one penny that we have borrowed of someone and we refuse to give it back, or we refuse to acknowledge the debt on the day of Qiyamah, you think this will be let go? No. Even one penny that we have taken off someone, you know, will be, accounted for on the day of Qiyamah. Is mentioned in one hadith that a person who unjustly takes one piece of land from a person, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be drowned in seven layers of that very earth that he took. So, like this, we have to be extremely, extremely vigilant, extremely careful with regards to our monetary dealings, our business dealings, our trade, the amana, the trust that we take, we give to people, and ensure that we are up to date and we are all, you know, clean in this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. This also brings me to the matter of inheritance issues. This is also included in amana. Often, due to circumstances, certain inheritors, they take control of the entire estate, or sometimes, I suppose, a typical example might be when an individual passes away and he has many children, and one of them is living in the house, the parents' house, and the parents pass away, so he says that, look, I've lived here all my life, you lot all have your houses, I'm going to take this house. This is not his to take. It seems like, you know, it's a small thing, that, look, end of the day, I'm living here anyway, so, you know, I can't get kicked out now. But end of the day, the fact of the matter is that this does not belong to you. This comes under theft of property. This comes under ghasab. This comes under illegally taking someone's wealth. Because the moment that father or that mother passed away, that inheritance now became the ownership of all the inheritors. Yet one inheritor thinks that he has the right to take control of this particular property or this estate. No. So this is also very, very pertinent, very, very important matter today. Many people, unfortunately, they don't have this understanding, and people pass away and they're just, you know, using their wealth, using the house, using the property, and, you know, the other siblings, they don't want to, you know, like cause, like they say, beef in the family, or they don't want to cause any disruption. So Bishara, they're struggling themselves, but they don't want to say anything. However, with regards to inheritance, we look at the verses on the fourth juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the matter of inheritance, right? And at the end of all the, as all the issues have been discussed, at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Tilka hududullah." This is the limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it says, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And then after this verse, it says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ هُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. That he will be entered into the Jahannam, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, forever and ever. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and he'll be punished. And this is the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the matters of inheritance in يُسِيكُمَ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ, the entire, you know, nearly 2 pages, 1.5 pages, 1.75 pages there. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this warning to the ummah. So it is of utmost importance that we take care not just of our own affairs, but those family members who have not, dealt with their inheritance correctly. We should ensure that, you know, we should do our bit. Just now, Hazrat Mufti Abdullah Sahib Damal Barakatuhu mentioned that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Yeah, commanding people to do good and forbidding them from evil is necessary upon every single person within their capacity. This was just mentioned in the ta'lim, so we should try to do this as well if we have the ability to do so. If it is within our capacity, then if we know anyone who has not done this correctly, their inheritance, and solved their inheritance, resolved it properly, then we should also extend this invitation towards solving their matters correctly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And on that topic, it is important for us all. It is of importance for us all as individuals to ensure that we also prepare for death by preparing our will. Yeah, this is also a matter of importance that we prepare, no matter how old or how young we are. If sometimes you think, oh, I'm young, you know, I'm only 25 or something, you know, I've got many years left, I'll do it later. But the fact of the matter is that we don't know when we're going to pass away. And we've seen this recently in our area, that young people pass away in our very, on our own streets. We see our young children, young individuals passing away. So it is important for us to ensure that a will is correctly prepared. So inshallah, today I will conclude on this. I was planning on finishing off the surah, but alhamdulillah, we have completed some and covered some very, very pertinent issues. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to fulfill all types of amana, whether they are physical, whether they are monetary, whether they are spiritual, with regards to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all of our sins and gives us the tawfiq to repair any issues, any discrepancies, any inaccuracies that we may have had in the past with our dealings. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if there has been anything in our past and we are not aware of, or we have forgotten, that either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the path for us to resolve these matters, and if not possible, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for our sins. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be straight in our dealings in the future. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do good and stay away from evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the correct understanding of the Holy Quran and the true love for the Holy Quran, and the ability to recite the Quran every single day. The ability, we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the ability to wake up at the blessed hours of tahajjud and to stand and pray Quran at the blessed hour when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to awake and used to pray. آمين يا رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.